यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राध माधव कुंज बिहारी Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, शिव प्रभुपाद की जय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नश्च प्रायश्चित्पादेषु नीचं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत तमाश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Canto 8, Chapter 5, Verse 25. Tatradishta svarupaya Shruta Purvaya Vai Prabhu Stutima Bruta Daivi Bir Girvistvava Hitendriyaha Yattarishta Svarupaya Shruta Purvaya Vai Prabhu Stutima bruta daivi bir Girbistava hitendriyaha Tatradista svarupaya Shruta purvaya vai prabhu Stutima bruta daivi bir Girbistvava hitendriyaha Tattarista svarupaya Shruta purvaya vai prabhu Stutima bruta daivi bir Girbistvava hitendriyaha Tatradista svarupaya Shruta purvaya vai prabhu Shrutima bruta daivi bir Girbistvava hitendriyaha Tatradista svarupaya Shruta purvaya vai prabhu Stutima bruta daivi bir Girbhistvava Vihendriyaha Tatradrishta Swarupaya Shuddha Vayobhai Prabhu Stutima Bruta Daivi Bir Girbhistvava Hiddhitandriyaha So, word for word translation. Tatra, there, at the Lord's abode known as Svetvadvipa. Atrista Svarupaya, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not seen. Even by Lord Brahma. Shruta Purvaya. But who has heard about from the Vedas. Vai. Indeed. Prabhu. Lord Brahma. Stutim. Prayers derived from Vedic literature. Abruta. Performed Daivibihi by prayers mentioned in the Vedic literature or offered by persons strictly following Vedic principles. Girbihi by such sound vibrations or songs. Tu then. Avahita Indriyaha, fixed in mind, without deviation. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. There, at Svetadvipa, Lord Brahma offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he had never seen the Supreme Lord. Simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Vedic literature, with a fixed mind he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by Vedic literature. Purport. It is said that when Brahma and the other demigods go to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead at Svetadvipa, they cannot directly see him, but their prayers are heard by the Lord, and the needful action is taken. This we have seen in many instances. The word Shrupa Purvaya is significant. We get experience by directly seeing or by hearing. If it is not possible to see someone directly, we can hear about him from authentic sources. Sometimes people ask whether we can show them God. This is ludicrous. It is not necessary for one to see God before he can accept God. Our sensory perception is always incomplete. Therefore, even if we see God, we may not be able to understand him. When Krishna was on earth, many, many people saw him but could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Avajanati mam muda manusim tanumashritam. Even though the rascals and fools saw Krishna personally, they could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even upon seeing God personally, one who is unfortunate cannot understand him. Therefore, we have to hear about God, Krishna, from the authentic Vedic literature and from persons who understand the Vedic version properly. Even though Brahma had not seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead before, he was confident that the Lord was there in Svetadvipa. Thus he took the opportunity to go there and offer prayers to the Lord. The prayers were not ordinary concocted prayers. Prayers must be approved by Vedic literature, as indicated in this verse by the words Daivi Bir Girbi. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we do not allow any song that has not been approved or sung by bona fide devotees. We cannot allow cinema songs to be sung in the temple. We generally sing two songs. One is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. This is bona fide. It is always mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is accepted by the Acharyas. The other, of course, is the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We may also sing the songs of Narottama Dasa Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Lochana Das Thakur. But these two songs, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, are sufficient to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we cannot see Him. Seeing the Lord is not as important as appreciating Him from the authentic literature or the authentic statements of authorized persons. End purport. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnana Jnana Salakaya Chakshurun Militayena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Paraya Nitai Kripa Paraine Gaurakata Dharma Daya Nagrama Tarine Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschati Desha Tarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, dear sadhus, today I'll do my best to represent Srila Prabhupada's purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. First, I will repeat the translation of the verse. Lord Brahma said, There, at Svetadvipa, Lord Brahma offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he had never seen the Supreme Lord. Simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Vedic literature, with a fixed mind, he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by Vedic literature. So, we're coming to a point in this chapter where Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and the demigods are at a climax of some sort. What happens when the demigods are in distress? What do the demigods usually do when they're in distress? Can anyone say? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, very nice, thank you. And even the title of this chapter is The Demigods Appeal to the Lord for Protection. This is the difference between the Asuras, the saintly people, and the Asuras, the rascals, is that when the demigods are in distress, they actually seek shelter of the Supreme Lord. And the demigods did not actually go to Krishna directly. So, who did the demigods go to first? Lord Brahma. So, there's some disciplic succession happening there. They're taking shelter of a senior. They're not taking shelter among themselves, but they're going to someone more exalted. And then, by the mercy of Lord Brahma, they go to the shelter of Lord Krishna. So, they're following Lord Brahma there. So, I will read some of the purport, and I will try to elucidate that as I go. It is said that when Brahma and the other demigods go to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Svetadvipa, they cannot directly see Him, but their prayers are heard by the Lord, and the needful action is taken. This we have seen in many instances. The word Shruta Purvaya is significant. The word Shruta Purvaya means who has heard about from the Vedas. So we have this process in Krishna consciousness that we follow. It's called Shruti. We acquire knowledge by hearing from an authorized source. We get experience by directly seeing or by hearing. If it is not possible to see someone directly, we can hear about him from authentic sources. Sometimes people ask whether we can show them God. This is ludicrous. It is not necessary for one to see God before he can accept God. Our sensory perception is always incomplete. In Sri Isha Upanishad, in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada distinguishes this hearing process, Shruti, from a more fallible process of trying to get knowledge through our direct experience. And in this purport, he's comparing hearing and seeing. So actually, our ears are capable of seeing through the process of hearing much more than our eyes. For instance, I may not be able to directly see India, but if someone can describe India to me, then I have some understanding of what India is. Srila Prabhupada says it's ludicrous to deny God by saying that we cannot see him. And he uses that very analogy that you have not actually seen India, though that does not mean it does not exist. Another analogy Prabhupada gives is, if we want to know who our father is, we can go to an authority, which would be our mother. So we can ask our mother, who is my father? And she can tell us directly. We take shelter of that authority, and she gives us that knowledge. Whereas alternatively, we could go through some very DNA process and have to get some DNA sample of every human being on Earth. And even then, we may not find our father. So he's making this clear distinction. And also he says, our sensory perception is always incomplete. So there are four defects for the conditioned soul, and this is one reason why we very much need some knowledge from an authoritative source, because we have these four defects, one of them being that we have incomplete senses. So even if we desire to see something as it is, we actually can't through our direct experience on this mundane conditioned platform. So there are three other defects. Does anybody know what they are? Would you like to share? Propensity for cheating. Committing mistakes. Imperfect senses. I forgot this one as well. And to be illusioned. We have a propensity to be illusioned. So, by our own cognitive efforts and analysis, we can't reach the Supreme Lord. But we can hear from a bona fide source. In the third verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains the exalted position of Sukadev Goswami. And actually the verse itself, I have it written here. There's a word, this knowledge is a ripened fruit, this transcendental knowledge. So you can imagine there could be a ripened fruit very high in the tree. And some inexperienced person may try to extract that fruit. We may get a stick and try and like knock it down. But when that fruit comes down, it could be tarnished and destroyed. And when we get that fruit, we may say, this is an apple. Maybe it's a mango or something. But it's this mature fruit of transcendental knowledge is carried by a mature person, Sukadev Goswami. He's very mature in his devotion to the Lord. So these people can carry that fruit to us and deliver it to us in a very bona fide way. And we have three sources of knowledge in this Krishna consciousness movement. What are those three sources that we get instruction from? So there's guru, sadhu, and shastra. So, can you imagine if we only had sadhu and shastra, and we were missing guru, what would happen to the knowledge we're receiving? We could become confused. We could start giving some limited false interpretation of shastra. We may not be able to even identify who is a sadhu and who is not, because we don't have some senior authority explaining to us how to discriminate and helping us to discern. And what if we had guru and sadhu and no shastra? We could become cheated. How could we become cheated? So the guru may be telling us something, but if he has no shastric evidence for it, then we don't know whether that's bona fide or not. So the guru is speaking in terms of what's bona fide in shastra. And what if we have guru and shastra, but no sadhu? What's incomplete there? What is a sadhu? A saintly devotee who is in disciplic succession. So sadhu, they actually exhibit these saintly qualities, and they're acquiring knowledge through disciplic succession. So actually, if the guru is truly bona fide, then naturally we will have sadhu. Because the gurus in our movement, like Srila Prabhupada, they're actually acharyas. They're not like... Srila Prabhupada compares it to an academic setting of studying shastra. You can get a lot of information about Krishna, but it doesn't necessarily become knowledge. But the acharya, he's not only has this knowledge, he actually has assimilated it. He's actually walking this path of devotional service. So if the person's not walking the path of devotional service, they cannot properly speak about it. So the sadhu is there. I'll continue. Therefore, even if we see God, we may not be able to understand him. When Krishna was on earth, many, many people saw him but could not understand. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even upon seeing God personally, one who is unfortunate cannot understand him. Therefore, we have heard about God, Krishna, from the authentic Vedic literature and from persons who understand the Vedic version properly. Even though Brahma had not seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead before, he was confident that the Lord was there in Svetadvipa. Thus, he took the opportunity to go there and offer prayers to the Lord. So, Lord Brahma is very confident that the Lord exists in this place called Svetadvipa because he's heard about it. So he's been engaged somehow in the process of hearing, so he's acquired knowledge and he has some confidence in that knowledge. So what qualifies Lord Brahma is having heard about the Supreme Lord, so to speak, in this context that I'm trying to speak in. So this first process of devotional service that we have is beginning from hearing. So we are hearing. There's hearing, and then there's glorifying the Lord, and there's remembering the Lord. So Lord Brahma is able to glorify the Lord properly because he's heard about the Lord. He knows who the Lord is. So if we're not hearing, we cannot properly glorify Krishna. So to make it kind of relevant to my own understanding, we can come to the temple, And if I come here and try to concoct some method of worshiping Krishna, Krishna may not necessarily appreciate that. There's some devotion there, so Krishna can see some effort. But if we really want to get the nectar from this process, we can inquire from people who are very expert in that process, like Srila Prabhupada. And these acharyas came here to really give very freely this knowledge. I mean, we can see there are book distributors out on the street, there are people out preaching. We're there, even the sadhus were out there, really trying to give this message that Srila Prabhupada has and our acharyas have. And it's whether someone's able to receive it or not is what allows them to actually get that nectar. Srila Prabhupada once went to an interfaith, so to speak, and we cannot emulate this, but Srila Prabhupada said, "Krishna is God, why don't you accept?" He's very simple and straightforward, why don't you accept? So, if we can read Srila Prabhupada's words with this attitude of accepting and receiving and trying to understand it, then it can go very deep into our heart. Alternatively, we can start trying to challenge his words. And then it makes it more difficult to go into the heart. We can inquire and try to deepen our understanding. But when we're challenging, the mercy isn't flowing so easily. Because, I mean, Srila Prabhupada is a person, so we're developing a relationship with the acharyas. Similarly, we come here, and when we're among senior devotees, we want to hear, and we can exhibit this humility, and then they're very willing to give us knowledge. But if we're a bit proud, then it's more difficult to receive that knowledge. Pride makes this process very difficult. Like, we can see how this whole mess started with the demigods, is that there was Durvasa Muni, and he was observing this magnificent parade. And Durvasa Muni was very generously wanting to give his mercy to Lord Indra. Lord Indra's on this parade, and Durvasa Muni wants to give the mercy to Lord Indra. So he gives his garland to Lord Indra. Now, Lord Indra is in this very exalted position. He's riding on an elephant. Many people are surrounding him. It's very glorious. And when this garland comes to him, at that moment, he doesn't necessarily appreciate it. Oh, it's flowers. And it goes down to the elephant, and the elephant tramples on it. You can imagine how Durvasa Muni may feel. Durvasa Muni is a person. So Durvasa Muni, when he sees this flower garden, his very sincere gift of mercy and blessings to Indra, just being trampled underneath an elephant. So, I mean, you can imagine, wow. But he's very equipoised. So when Durvasa Muni curses Lord Indra, actually it's a great blessing. So there's some chastisement there to Lord Indra. And following that, there's this big mess with the demigods. And what's happening following this? Lord Indra and the demigods are going and they're surrendering to the Supreme Lord. So this chastisement is quite a blessing. So, when we want to receive this knowledge through hearing, we have some faith. Srila Rupa Goswami gives a ladder of bhakti yoga, and it starts, we have some faith in the process. And when we have some faith, then we seek the association of sadhus. We get sadhu sangha. And in the association of sadhu sangha, we start practicing bhajan kriya, this process of devotional service. So we're seeking the shelter of devotees in order to practice this process. So it's very essential there that we have this attitude of seeking shelter. And whenever we're distressed, if we take shelter, then that ladder stays strong. During our process of bhajan kriya and anartana vritti, because we're in the association of sadhus, we're firm on that bhakti ladder. But if when we're in distress, we leave the association of devotees and we're trying to practice this bhajan kriya independently, then our ladder it's become weak. We don't have that foundation there to maintain that growth. So it becomes incomplete. I'll continue with the purport. These prayers were not ordinary concocted prayers. Prayers must be approved by Vedic literature as indicated in this verse by the words Daivi Bir Girbi. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we do not allow any song that has not been approved or sung by bona fide devotees. We cannot allow cinema songs to be sung in the temple. We generally sing two songs. One is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. This is bona fide. It is always mentioned the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is accepted by the Acharyas. The other, of course, is the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We may also sing the songs of Narottama Dasa Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Lochana Dasa Thakur, but these two songs, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, are sufficient to please the personality of Godhead, although we cannot see him. Seeing the Lord is not as important as appreciating him for the authentic literature or the authentic statements of authorized persons. In one of Srila Prabhupada's books, Chant and Be Happy, he is asked by George Harrison and John Lennon, and there's a small group there, and they had already been practicing some other mantra process. They had gone to another guru and they got some mantra. And one of the questions was, well, as we understand, we're given a particular mantra for our particular personality and our situation. So can we also get benefit from this? Why should we chant your mantra, this Maha Mantra? And Srila Prabhupada's answer is a nice analogy, because they're trying to suggest that all mantras are the same. They're getting you to the same place. And Srila Prabhupada says, well, we can say that there are different kinds of flowers. And in one respect, they're all flowers. But among all, in the flower kingdom, the rose is acknowledged as very special, of high quality. So similarly, this Maha Mantra is the rose of mantras. So it also contains all other mantras. So by chanting this Maha Mantra, in line of disciplic succession, getting it from authoritative source like Srila Prabhupada, we get a lot of mercy there, because it's from Lord Chaitanya himself, and it's been passed down to us, so it's a very precious gift. So some alternative will not really satisfy the same potency as this Maha Mantra. And Lord Chaitanya says, there are not even hard and fast rules for chanting your holy name. In the Vedic, in different yagyas, like in previous ages when they're performing different mantra sacrifices, they have to be very careful about how they chant the mantras. And actually the mantras don't have an effect if the person is not pure. For instance, like in the Vedas, there is this, there's sacrifices where an animal is actually sacrificed. But because they're so pure in their chanting and they're so pure in the sacrifice, that the animal is actually renewed and given new life, or the animal is given a human birth. But in the book Chant and Be Happy, Srila Prabhupada says that this Maha Mantra is as if when you give a child fire, if he goes to a field of grass with that fire, even though the child may be ignorant of to what fire is, the child is fully capable of burning that entire field of grass, even though they don't really fully understand this Maha Mantra or fire. So similarly, this Maha Mantra is capable of destroying all of our sins. And through the process of chanting this Maha Mantra and learning through the line of disciplic succession, we actually do start to cultivate that relationship with Krishna, and we do understand who Krishna really is beyond some level of information. It's real knowledge. Like in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verse 8 through 12, there's different characteristics of knowledge. There's humility and pridelessness, starting with humility and pridelessness. And so on an information level, we could understand what is humility, right? We can understand, well, humility is this, right? So we could have some intellectual understanding of humility or pride. But understanding it intellectually doesn't necessarily make that an aspect of our character. But in the association of devotees and following this process of bhakti yoga and the association of devotees, we actually cultivate those qualities. We're getting real knowledge by this association. So I'd like to repeat the final verse of this purport. Seeing the Lord is not as important as appreciating Him from the authentic literature or the authentic statements of authorized persons. So, though we are not qualified to see Krishna due to our material contamination, we can appreciate Krishna by listening to the authentic statements of authorized persons. So we have Srila Prabhupada, who's giving us these purports, which is based on the commentaries of all the previous acharyas in our line of disciplic succession. So in this way, we're really getting Prabhupada's mercy, and we're able to cultivate that relationship with Krishna. So I'll stop there. There's like 15 minutes left. So if someone would like to speak or has a question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit more about what it means to accept and how to go deeper in accepting what we're hearing and in the scriptures.
The question is, how do we go deeper into accepting this process of accepting what we hear through the scriptures? So there's two processes that come to mind. One is the process of repetition. Because sometimes, you know, we're told, like in Beyond Birth and Death, Srila Prabhupada says, in the first paragraph of that book, Srila Prabhupada says, we are not this body. And someone can say, yes, yes, I understand, I am not this body. But Srila Prabhupada says, yes, but you do not realize that you are not this body. And in many of Srila Prabhupada's lectures, he's very often repeating the basics. You are not this body, you are spirit soul. And when it gets repeated enough, it starts bouncing around in our head. So through that process of repetition, it's automatically going deeper. And the other process is the processes of surrender are encompassed in this Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakta program of service, of devotional service. So we're cultivating these qualities by serving. Like in Bhagavad Gita, it says, just to know the truth, this is 434, to know the truth, just approach a spiritual master, submissively inquire from him and render service unto him. And the self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto us. So there's that process of submissive inquiry, and it's accompanied by menial service. So this process of menial service cultivates that element of submissive hearing also, because you're taking a position of inferiority or humility in the face of the guru. So this very much helps. It also helps us get the mercy of senior Vaishnavas. Like what happens when we are, when pride is there and it's blocking us? It can manifest in different ways. So how it manifests among those who are junior to us is when we see some qualities in someone who's junior to us, and that envy is still in our heart and we're a bit proud, we tend to push them down. No, we can see there's some good qualities, and when the pride is there, we push them down. And when someone is sort of our peer, when that pride is there, there's one thing that happens is that we will tend to exalt the particular peers that we associate with, you know. So there are those people in that temple or those people in this program, and they're doing this, or they have these qualities, but we're very humble, or we are serving very nicely. We're distributing this many books, so to speak. So we can puff each other up. And in this way, there's some disconnect to other devotees. Another thing that happens among our peers is we will tend to justify our position. So we can be proud. So if something like threatens our ego, we will seek our peers to justify a proud condition. Like, aren't I right? Isn't this right? We will do that with our peers a lot. Then when the pride comes with our seniors, the most prominent aspect of this is fault finding. When we're envious of someone in a more exalted position, or someone has more facility than us, we will find faults in that person. And then the mercy is not flowing so nicely, because we're not able to submissively hear from someone that we're actively finding faults in. One Brahmin-initiated Brahmachari who I took Bhakti Shastri with in Mayapur, he quoted a sannyasi very nicely. I'm forgetting which one it was. He said that one way to avoid this fault-finding nature is to appreciate the devotees, because we're very rare. So by appreciating each other, then there's a lot to be gained through that association. Anything else? Is there another question? Or a statement or reflection?
I'm wondering if you can compare the difference of inquiry from a senior and then inquiries to a peer.
When we're inquiring from a peer, we're recognizing that they have some quality or some skill that we're desiring to develop in ourselves. So in the process of inquiring, we're accepting a humble position. So for instance, some devotee may be doing book distribution, and then they may be moved to a different service, right? Like cleaning the temple. Something, you know. So they're very much inquiring from that person who's very expert in cleaning the temple. So in the process of inquiry, the humble position is there. So they're senior in some element, right? So if we want to acquire that quality or that skill, we take the humble position. So it's not necessarily so cut and dry always that this person is my senior and this person is my peer. Right? Even some seniors in their devotional life can submissively inquire from a peer if they want to inquire about something, right? Maybe some skill that person has. And because there's no pride there, they're able to do that.
I can pass a couple of comments just to add to what you just said. One of the important aspects of, or this is actually as per Rupa, Srila Rupa Goswami, he explains that among peers, the overriding rasa of that relationship is friendship. However, you know, what we're cultivating as devotees is that we have a service attitude. And as you say, humility and tolerance, respect. And but in the level of friendship, you serve each other, you help each other, and you can inquire, and the inquiry could be in many different levels. One, you know, you mentioned some of them, you know, about, hey, how you do this, or, you know, can you teach me Mardanga, you know, among peers, you can do that. And we all inclined to serve, we all appreciate each other, and you know, cultivate this friendship. In a relationship with the Sirinir, it's a relationship of service. So we serve the senior devotee, and the same principle is there, but
reverence.
Not reverence.
There's some distance.
It's not as relaxed like with your friends. You know, like, I mean, you may. There's some senior devotees that will allow us to, you know, sort of be more relaxed because that's their mood. But we should not take it for granted. You know, there's always that respect. There is something in terms of relationships too, that with peers is probably the most difficult one to be established. It's easier to look up, you know, and that relationship is very clear. You know, it's of you taking shelter, or you taking instructions, you respect. It's easy to look, you know, towards those who are younger than you and to extend yourself. But with your peers, it becomes a little more challenging because you have to, you know, my opinion is as good as your, and then, you know, there's a little of the competition thing. I was going to mention that too in the previous question, you know, that you were mentioning different things that pride would do. I will add to you the ones that you say, that is there, competition could be there. And so it's a much challenging thing to establish loving relationship with your peers. So therefore, the overriding qualities that we're cultivating is we're serving. We're serving, we're always a servant. And you know, we appreciate, we respect. We respect, you know, the devotion of each person, each devotee.
Hare Krishna. I think that's an excellent. Is there anything else that someone would like to say? Thank you, Prabhu. I think we can finish with that. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, or Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Panchakalpa Vaishnava Kripa Sindhu Bhavachapatitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavi Dhyanam.